also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Regenberg, you've been outspoken in terms of permitting Syrian refugees to come to the U.S. Do you believe the current screening process is adequate to guard against the possibility of terrorists trying to sneak into the country that way?
Well, Ian, the United States has accepted millions of refugees, hundreds of thousands from the Middle East since the Iraq War. And we have never before seen an attack carried out by a terrorist, by a refugee. So I think the process works. It is an extensive process. It is a multi-year process. It is a multi-agency process. And no, the Republican bill that passed, I think, is a travesty, and it harkens back to some of the darker times that we've had in this country, the decision to repel Jewish refugees from the Nazis. We need to be smarter than that.
One of your legislative colleagues in the state Senate, Republican Elaine Morgan of Hopkinton, made headlines at around the same time you were speaking out for calling for not allowing Syrian refugees to be allowed into the U.S. Are you concerned about what the fallout might be if there is a Paris-style attack in the U.S. and how that might affect civil rights and civil discourse?
I am concerned. I do think that something like that would impact this debate around Syrian refugees, for example. But I don't think that that means in any way that it's not ridiculous to connect the two. Again, to say that an attack is connected to all Muslims has the exact same legitimacy as saying that all Christians are complicit in the Planned Parenthood shooting a few days ago, to say that all white men are terrorists just because the vast majority of domestic terrorism cases in the United States have been committed by white men.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, do you think that House Republican Leader Brian Newberry was fair in his assessment that Governor Raimondo should have appointed a Republican lawmaker to the commission that's looking at the school funding formula?
It was fair criticism. There could be a Republican legislator on there. I think it's a very diverse group on there.
Not many Republicans, though. Just one, I believe, Mayor Scott Avedisian.
Sure. But I want to give the governor real credit for putting a spotlight on this issue. I think that the funding formula is in desperate need of reform. We saw that last year with the House Study Commission as far as how we fund charters, but we also see it in the way that we fund ELL, the way that we fund special education. Rhode Island is one of the only states that does not put a weighting on those two issues. You know, just to make it concrete, Providence got a huge number of newcomers. We've got a lot of English language learners. They require, obviously, additional services, additional programming, and yet there's no extra resources to support that. Same thing goes with special education. So my hope is that through this process, we'll come out with a funding formula that actually does right by our youth.
What is your view of standardized tests like PARC? Would you agree with people who say that it's important that you use standardized tests to get a baseline of where students are on basic skills like English and math, or do you think there's too much emphasis on that?
I think we put way too much emphasis in our current education system on standardized testing. We know where the problems are. I mean, you look at the numbers. They track issues like poverty. We know where we need to put more resources, and our current emphasis on standardized testing has impacts in the classroom as far as teachers having to teach to the test, as far as narrowing curriculum. So my hope is that we can focus on expanding how we measure achievement and success.
Are you concerned about the finances of your home city? I mean, the Auditor General waved a big red flag just 6 or 7 weeks ago, and now we see Moody's raising some more warnings about Providence, yet we haven't really seen a sense of urgency from the city council or Mayor Alorza. What do you make of that?
It's worrying. Providence has a lot of structural issues. As someone who's in the state legislature, I think that a lot of those structural issues are tied to the General Assembly. Our state needs to give greater support to Providence. Things like pilot funding. States like Connecticut have much higher rates of pilot funding to their cities than Rhode Island. We've been cutting aid to cities and towns previously. We've started increasing it, but it hasn't made up for that. So for me, my focus is really focusing on the General Assembly and making the case that so goes Providence, so goes Rhode Island. We need to invest in our capital city.
As a freshman lawmaker this year, you were able to achieve one of your top priorities, an increase in the sub-minimum wage for tipped workers like waiters and waitresses. What's your explanation for how you were able to achieve that as a freshman?
Well, first of all, we were able to get a lot of folks out there telling their stories. It's an issue that I don't think had received a lot of attention. We hadn't increased the tip minimum wage in 2 decades. And so putting faces to that, looking at the numbers, at the rates of poverty among tip workers. I think it's also, I want to give a lot of credit to the speaker. There are a lot of issues we don't agree on, but he was very open to listening to the case, to moving where he was, I think my hope is that we will continue to move that number up. We're still below our neighbors, and there's still a lot of evidence that increasing it further helps the economy, helps working families.
As you say, you won the support for that issue of House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, who's sometimes portrayed as being a more conservative kind of Democrat. What does his support on that issue tell us about his politics and his leadership style?
I think it shows that he is willing to keep an open mind on issues. You know, it was an open door. I was able to make my case and make it again, and answer questions. So I think he's open to moving on things. I'm certainly not going to agree with him on everything, but I'm going to keep working to educate him on the issues that I really care about.
Was it really smart to cut the taxes, income taxes on pensions and Social Security, when the poverty rate among seniors is like 8 or 9%, but not do more to help the working families of Rhode Island, where we see 22-23% of the children being brought up in poverty?
I couldn't agree with you more there. I think we've had tax policy that has not been supporting young people, has not been supporting working families, hasn't been supporting our urban cities. I introduced legislation to have progressive income tax reform to make up some of the tax cuts for the rich that Rhode Island has done in the past decade, because I think the evidence is pretty clear that it doesn't trickle down. We need to be investing in the middle class. We need to be investing in working families. That's where a strong economy comes from.
The influence of the Progressive Caucus in the Rhode Island House has waxed and waned over the years. I think you unabashedly identify as a progressive. So what do you think progressives need to do to be more impactful and more influential in passing their goals and legislation in the House?
Well, I think some people have feel like progressive is a bad word. For me, progressive, that's the story of America. From the beginning, we've had these lofty ideals, and from the beginning, we haven't reached them. And I think look through abolition to women's suffrage to the labor movement to civil rights movement. America has been a story of trying to reach our ideals. So I think that in the legislature, we need to keep making the case. I think there's a structural issue up there. Some people are able to have their voices heard a lot more easily than others. If you've got resources, if you can hire lobbyists, you're going to be heard up there just naturally a lot more than, say, a single mom who's working as a server for $2.89 an hour. And so that's a structural issue I think progressives have to overcome. And I'm going to keep fighting and keep making the case.
And we're almost out of time here, but I wonder if legalizing marijuana is a priority for you in the 2016 session and what you think will be necessary to win legislative support for that.
That's a priority for me. I very much support it. I think it's a racial justice issue. It's a criminal justice reform issue. It's also, to be clear, an economic development issue. We know that this is where we're going as a country, right? And the question is, are we going to get out ahead of it to try to get the economic benefits, to get the development and jobs to be here versus, be one of the last in New England and make sure that economic benefit has mostly gone to our neighbors. So my hope is that economic argument will hold some water. I don't know if this is going to be the year, but I'm hoping, and I think advocates need to keep up the fight.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Representative of Providence, Aaron Regenberg.
Thanks for everything.